Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but a lot Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR to tell you what big media won't. I hope you've had a wonderful weekend. We have a fascinating show in store for you. I urge you to stay tuned. We have, in my not-so-humble opinion, one of the greatest thinkers of our time joining us in just a few minutes. Joel C. Rosenberg. He is the author of 12 novels and 5 nonfiction books. Why is that impressive? There are lots of authors out there because Mr. Rosenberg is just not your average author. Joel C. Rosenberg is an expert on current events, international events, and prophetical words from the Bible, and he has written some incredible novels that tie in his broad, vast expertise about the international stage. He blends it with prophecy and writes these political thrillers that not only are fascinating page-turners, and they are so believable, and some of them have even actually unfolded. I will expand on that a little bit more, but I want you to hear him for yourself. He is, I'm telling you, Mr. Rosenberg is one of the most brilliant minds of our time. He's one of the most insightful individuals you will ever hear from, and he brings clarity to what's going on the international stage in ways that you want to understand. If you have never heard him, stay tuned. He'll be with us in just a few minutes. Mr. Rosenberg is so renowned that his books end up in the hands of world leaders, kings, presidents, vice presidents, CIA directors, prime ministers all over the world, such that even the King of Jordan, among others, have invited him into his palace personally to talk to him about his books and his writings. He has met with leaders from Israel, Iraq, Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, Afghanistan, Russia, Germany, France, Belgium, Italy, India, South Korea, and the Philippines, and so much more. Trust me. This is going to be one of the most exciting shows. And what Mr. Rosenberg is going to answer is, what is the largest international threat facing America right now? The answer just might surprise you. I'm not giving it away. I want you to stay tuned. But if you have questions for Joel C. Rosenberg, give us a call right now at 719-540-0740. I'll see if we can work those questions into our interview later on. And we will wait for him to call in and join us. We're going to have an even more exciting show before and after Mr. Rosenberg joins us. We're going to be talking about Puerto Rico. I have some inside information about Puerto Rico that was very interesting to acquire today. I will share that in just a moment. We're going to be talking a lot about the NFL in the second hour. I have a pretty strong opinion about what's going on. It's particularly about Trump's words a week ago. Trump called the NFL players who kneel SOBs and said that they should be fired. And you might not believe this, but I'm echoing this president more than I ever expected. A year ago during the election, comments like that from him bothered me. They made me very uneasy. And do his comments now still bother me? Yes, to an extent. But we have to understand the times that we live in. We are at war. And if you don't believe that, I will prove it to you. And we're not in a time where we can just be silent and ignore these direct assaults on America. These are not protests that are educated protests against anything America's really done. These are protests that ratchet up the narrative that hates America, hates everything we stand for. And this has been going on since Obama took office. Words matter. Words definitely matter. And all the rhetoric that Obama just kept pouring into our culture, hate America, it just exploded during the election because, lo and behold, Hillary was supposed to take over and control all of our lives in ways that we can't even imagine, and that didn't happen. So the left is having a hissy fit, and they're recruiting useful idiots. And yes, some of the NFL players are very useful idiots in this campaign to destroy America. And Fox Sports, I predicted this 2 or 3 days ago. I said the next step in this debacle is to eliminate the national anthem from NFL football games. And lo and behold, it's happened. I predicted that on social media 3 days ago. It's not hard to do once you start looking at the pattern. Everything the left does is designed to destroy everything about our foundings, everything about our Constitution, everything that's related to the freedom that you and I enjoy on a daily basis. And getting rid of the national anthem is a very leftist thing to do. The left creates the controversy and they create the solution. The controversy was, oh, we've got this problem now with the NFL, and now we've got athletes making political statements, and oh my gosh, we can't have this. And, well, lo and behold, the solution is, oh, well, we just won't have the national anthem anymore. That was the end goal, and Fox Sports is deciding not to air it. Huge mistake. And later on in the show, I'm going to be asking the question, do you agree with me about Trump's words? I personally have zero compulsion to apologize for his semi-profanity. Zero. We are in different times now than we have ever been in. And Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, number 4 is make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. You know, and I've seen conservatives left, I mean, up one side and down the other. Well, Trump's words were inappropriate. And I just stop. Yes. Were they inappropriate in normal times? Probably. But my question is, who else is saying anything? Answer that one. Who else is actually pushing back against this anti-American, hateful narrative? And it's not just a narrative anymore. It's action. And it's powerful words and powerful action. And some would say, well, just ignore the kneeling on the football field. Well, I would, but big media keeps showing it to all of us and exacerbating the problem. Somebody's got to say something. And I will. And I'm just really glad that Trump's saying something. And I'm gonna go into that a lot more later and why there's a part of me that can make the case that he shouldn't say anything, and why the other part of me comes out and says, nope, he needs to be saying something. So I'll expand on that, and I'll be looking for your inputs on that, too, because it's very the opinions are all over the place. But we'll come back to that, and we'll touch on some other things, too. But Puerto Rico. Jason, can you play the audio from the San Juan mayor over the weekend? Remember, Puerto Rico was just decimated by Hurricane Maria. And we really haven't heard much because they've had no electricity, no power, no phone, no telecommunications. And we've kind of just seen drone shots and what we can get. Well, now it's coming out how bad the devastation really was. And guess whose fault it is?
I am done being polite. I am done being politically correct. I am mad as hell. I beg you to take charge and save lives. We are dying here. And I cannot fathom the thought that the greatest nation in the world cannot figure out logistics for a small island.
Okay. That was the mayor of San Juan. Her name is Carmen Cruz. And wow, the dramatic effect is a little bit deafening. Well, today I was privileged to speak with former Colorado State Senator Sean Mitchell. He's got a contact in Puerto Rico, and his contact is retired United States Marine Corps Lieutenant General with 40 years in service. He served in both combat arms and for the last 30 years or so as a senior intelligence officer who served twice on the National Security Council for many years in Brussels, attached to NATO. Lots of credentials. This guy is reporting the truth about what's going on in Puerto Rico. I'm going to share that with you after the break, and then we're going to introduce Joel C. Rosenberg and take off. We'll talk to you soon.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right. I am back here on AM 740 KVOR. If you have a question for Joel C. Rosenberg, give us a call at 719-540-0740. We will try to integrate your question into the interview. If you want to text in, you can at 719-695-8398. And we will start with Mr. Rosenberg in just a few minutes. But before we left for the break, I wanted to tell you about some a fascinating development in the Puerto Rico story. We played the audio before the break of the San Juan mayor, Carmen Cruz, on a very emotional, dramatic rant against America. The biggest country in the world is not taking care of us. And she's, you know, whose fault is it ultimately? It's Trump's, because, you know, it's always Trump's fault at this point. Well, former Colorado Senator Sean Mitchell, I talked to him today. He's got a friend who has a pseudonym. His pseudonym is Priam Farley. Well, Farley is a retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant General with 40 years in service. He served in both combat arms and for the last 30 years or so as a senior intelligence officer who served twice on the National Security Council and for many years in Brussels attached to NATO. This is a guy who knows a lot that's going on. And he contacted former Senator Mitchell, and he wanted to clarify what's really going on in Puerto Rico. I'm going to read. He posted a lot. He was quite agitated. And I'm going to read through. I won't give every detail. It would take forever. But let me just get started. So, you know, I won't put on my Marine voice because I would be doing him a disservice. I'll just read it. You can interject the Marine voice as I read it. It's quite interesting. So from this former Marine general, he says, I'm annoyed by the BS coming out of Puerto Rico. Local politicos and the mainstream media are lying through their teeth. Here's the truth, and this isn't complicated. Number one, the road network is largely down, both in the city and especially the rural areas. Teams of CBs and combat engineers are using chainsaws, cranes, end loaders, and 18-wheeler flatbeds to clear the way, beginning in the city. Number two, downed utility lines are largely deactivated and are being removed to facilitate traffic flow. Power's non-existent without generators, and only the military relief units, National Guard, and some local firms have them. Number three, the biggest problem, says this Marine who's got intel, is local cooperation. Only half of the Puerto Rico National Guard responded to call up, including engineering and motor transport units. A higher percentage of medics reported, which is good. He says local hospitals and doctors are cooperating effectively with U.S. military doctors, corpsmen, and medics. Hotlines have been established between docked naval vessels and San Juan hospitals. Serious emergency cases, surgical, hemorrhaging, strokes, heart attacks, are being treated by roving USN and USAR teams, sometimes on foot, also by Humvee. Or if they can be moved quickly to the port, they're treated aboard U.S. Navy vessels. Number four, thanks to the United States Air Force signal units, cellular communications are up and running for emergency personnel and will soon be available island-wide. Number five, water, infant formula, baby food, basic foodstuffs are being distributed to the local population, both urban and most of rural, by military choppers, trucks, and even amphibious vehicles. He says no one who is not ridiculously isolated is going to starve, babies or otherwise. The commanding officer on scene is making this the number one priority. Now, he says, bottom line, the mayor, other local government officials, and the visiting Democrat delegation are lying about the situation on the ground. This was a massive direct hit on Puerto Rico. It will take months to recover even basic infrastructure island-wide. Whining, bitching, shrieking for help, which is there in abundance, and lying about the situation are counterproductive political gaming. If I were the on-scene commander, I would arrest and detain the mayor and any other public officials who engage in political propaganda. And unless he can get his troops online, I would also relieve the commander of the Puerto Rico National Guard. Don't believe the lies. This is a massive military relief response, and it's working. With this big hit, it's just going to take time. There's simply no way to wave a magic wand and speed up the clock. The resources are there. Pray for overworked helicopter crews, combat engineers, and CBs, motor transport drivers, medics, and corpsmen. Jason, can you play the audio again now that we have the what's really going on in Puerto Rico? This was posted today by this Marine, former general. And I want you to hear, based on now that you've heard what's really going on, let's hear once again from the San Juan mayor who is making this propaganda.
I am done being polite. I am done being politically correct. I am mad as hell. I beg you to take charge and save lives. We are dying here. And I cannot fathom the thought that the greatest nation in the world cannot figure out the logistics for a small island. We don't get the food and the water into people's hands. What we are going to see is something close to a genocide.
It's been incredible.
A genocide? Okay. So I'm going to read more. She mentioned food and water in that last clip. Now, just for some background on that audio clip, there's a video associated with it, and the mayor is actually standing in front of carts full of bottled water, carts of them, right behind her, saying that people are dying and this is genocide. The Marine says this: food and water are getting through to all hospitals, schools used as shelters, as well as to the universities and other public buildings used as shelters. They are distributed throughout the city in a short walk for almost everyone in every part of town. Shut-ins, chronic care patients, and the vulnerable elderly have been transferred to hospitals or special care shelters. So this Marine, who doesn't want to identify himself, who still has access to valuable intel, is basically telling us that she's full of it. He says that unlike, this is really interesting, he says, unlike Texas Harvey victims, Puerto Ricans are not pitching in and doing for themselves. They're sitting around waiting for military, federal, and territorial governments to do everything for them. This will make the recovery very, very slow compared with 2011 Vermont or 2017 Texas. He says he has no idea why the Pentagon PIOs aren't doing a better job of pushing back against this San Juan mayor. She appears to be intentionally avoiding FEMA conferences so she can shill for Hillary and Elizabeth Warren. Disgraceful. That, my friends, is what's really going on the ground in Puerto Rico. And of course, big media lets this leftist mayor just trash America. And we've got so much more to talk about that. We're going to be talking about that later on in the show. But I want you to be prepared. We are about to go visit with Mr. Joel C. Rosenberg. Stay tuned, because Mr. Rosenberg, as I said at the beginning of the show, I personally believe he's one of the greatest minds on the planet. He is an expert in international affairs, current events. He's an expert on prophetical events, and he has woven together his expertise into 12 fascinating political thriller novels and 5 nonfiction books. Not only that, his books just seem to make their way into the hands of incredibly powerful world leaders like the King of Jordan. Mr. Rosenberg told me that the King of Jordan got a hold of one of his books where Mr. Rosenberg wrote favorably about Jordan and invited Mr. Rosenberg and his wife into his palace. And Mr. Rosenberg is well connected with presidents, prime ministers, vice presidents, people from all over the world. He knows what he's talking about, and he, Mr. Rosenberg, brings clarity like nobody else can about what's really going on. We're going to be asking him, what is the greatest threat facing America right now? So tune in. Don't go away. This is an interview you do not want to miss. Call in and leave me your questions for Mr. Rosenberg at 719-540-0740. And stay seated. We're going to be right back with Mr. Joel C. Rosenberg.
The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right. I am Michelle Morin here on AM 740 telling you what big media won't. We just concluded our incredible interview with author and international affairs expert Joel C. Rosenberg. If you missed it, it will be on my podcast. And I'm kind of on cloud nine. I have the utmost respect and regard for Mr. Rosenberg. I have a lot of his books. I read the Ezekiel option way back when it was published. I don't know exactly when it was published, but if you haven't read any of his thrillers, do. Go to the library, go to the used bookstore, go to the new bookstore, find them. One of the things he pointed out is, you know, he can write nonfiction books and all the research and tell what's going on with current events and explain radical Islam and explain North Korea and explain the prophecies. And he said when that happened, it's like a classroom and his audience is asking the question, you know, when does this class end? So as you heard in the interview, he has a very unique gift of encapsulating the research and the true current events into a fictional novel so that when you're reading it, you're asking the question, how does it end? And he does quite a phenomenal job about this. So I really encourage you to read his books. I also want to tell you about the Joshua Fund. This is a nonprofit that Joel C. Rosenberg has put together. You can find it on joshuafund.com. And Mr. Rosenberg has a passion for reaching the lost with the gospel. And he doesn't care if you are Arab, if you are Jewish, or if you are anything else. And he's got a strong passion for reaching Muslims as well. And the more you get to know Joel, the more you find out about the desperate need that people all over the world have for hearing about the gospel. And Joel will educate you about this. He even has an upcoming seminar in California. I'm looking for information on that right now. And last night he did ask, he invited people to come to that. It's called the Epicenter Conference in Southern California. It's October 6th and 7th, and it's in Costa Mesa. If you're out there, register and sign up and go to this event. I can promise you, when Mr. Rosenberg speaks, as you heard on the last half hour, it's the way he talks about current events, the real ones, not even outside of his novels, just the way he explains it in and of itself is like listening to a novelist. And he educates through just his unique way of communicating, both in person and in his novels. There were a few things that he mentioned to me last night that I wanted to touch on, and I don't want to steal his thunder. He can say it so much, so much better than I can. But he said something that we've been trying to say here on the show regarding North Korea. And, you know, Trump seems to be taking North Korea very seriously. He seasons it, flavors it with his own, you know, Rocket Man humor, which is kind of humorous, but I don't think, you know, it's just how Trump deals with these people. It's how he deals with everyone. But Mr. Rosenberg said last night what I've been trying to say. These threats coming out of North Korea are not just reckless hyperbole. Kim Jong-un means everything he says. And Mr. Rosenberg, in his own way, not in a doomsday way, but just in a matter-of-fact way, was telling his audience, we're in for hard times. Things are happening and wheels are in motion that are going to birth some pretty difficult times ahead. And North Korea is no joke. Kim Jong-un, we can kind of, you know, joke about the fat commie, and we can, you know, make jokes about the food he likes and all of that. But my friends, he's deadly serious. And then Mr. Rosenberg talked about Iran and radical Islam. And one of the interesting statistics that Mr. Rosenberg always puts out there, and I have to admit, he keeps me tempered about Islam. Joel says that 90% of the Muslims in the world are just flat out not jihadists. These are, they're not a threat to us. They have no desire to kill us. And if you get into his readings, you'll find out that most of them are very fearful of the whole structure of Islam. But what else Joel says is that the 7 to 10% remaining really are a threat to us. And he put some numbers to it. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. So 10% of 1.6 billion Muslims is 160 million. So we're looking at a worldwide a threat of 160 million individuals who are radical Islamists, jihadists. They hate us. They will take action. They want to take action. They take it very seriously. And Mr. Rosenberg said that that 160 million number is actually the equivalent of half the U.S. population. Half the U.S. population. Does that kind of put it in perspective what we're up against? And he also brought clarity to this point. He was talking about something that I've noticed, but didn't have the, I don't have the experience and the insight that Joel has to put it in words, but he said there are two kinds of Islam. There's apocalyptic Islam, and then there's radical Islam. Kind of the way he described radical Islam is what we see all the time. We see the terrorists. We had a terrorist in Canada and a terrorist in France, I think just over the weekend, who both, you know, acted individually and killed people because they are jihadists. We hear about it all the time. These are the guys that you hear about, as Mr. Rosenberg said, they're the ones that lob bombs into Israel. And they just, they're actively seeking to carry out the jihad against the world. However, he said that those particular Muslims are not as dangerous as the apocalyptic Muslims. And the apocalyptic Islam or Muslims, they're focused on the end times, the Muslim version of end times. The apocalyptic Muslims want to usher in the end times. They want to bring it on. And so they're kind of holding back. And he talked about how this is kind of the Ayatollah of Iran, where he is on things. He's not out there just, you know, lobbing bombs at people. He's thinking very strategically. And the violence he wants to use is to bring about the end of the world, global dominance, and he wants to use very catastrophic means. He doesn't want to take, you know, just take out a person here and a person there, or a city here or a city there. He wants to create the eschatological conditions for the end of the world to start as Islam knows it. And interestingly enough, Joel was talking about the nuclear deal with Iran. Obama gave $100 billion in cash to Iran and removed all legal restrictions. And Iran is using that money to build nuclear weapons and saying they're not. And you and I know that. But Joel said that Iran's watching very, very closely how we're handling North Korea. And as you heard on the first half hour, Putin's watching very, very closely how we're handling North Korea. And as Joel said, Putin is arming North Korea and arming Iran. And there's a lot to go on over there. It's massive. And the undercurrents are massive and the consequences could be massive. But Joel doesn't want to, he's not a fearmonger at all. He's very optimistic. He's very evangelistic. And there is hope. And he shares the gospel and wants the world to know that there is hope. So he's just, I can't say enough about Mr. Rosenberg. I'm one of his, I feel like I'm one of his biggest fans. But I know anyone else who reads his books is probably just as strong a fan as I am. But interesting stuff. He also commented on the director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo. He knows these guys. It's so fascinating to listen to Joel talk. He is very impressed with the team of experts that Trump has surrounded himself with. Very, very comfortable with that. Interestingly, he's kind of singled out Mike Pompeo, who's the director of the CIA. He said he's an evangelical Christian, and he said he, quote unquote, knows his stuff. So when Mr. Rosenberg speaks about these things, I listen. He talks to these people. He understands what's going on the world stage. So I just wanted to kind of fill you in on some of the things I was hoping that Joel would expand upon. And I hope I have not misrepresented his words at all. But anyway, many, many thanks to Joel Rosenberg. I urge you to go to his blog at joelcrosenberg.com, get on his email list, and pay attention to what he's observing and writing about and speaking about, and stay informed. When I tell you what big media won't, Mr. Rosenberg definitely tells you what big media won't, and you will be impressed. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about Puerto Rico. We're going to talk about the NFL. I'm going to ask you, do you think that Trump was it acceptable for Trump to say what he said about the NFL? And you might be surprised at my opinion on that, but maybe not. We'll find out when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
If you missed the interview with Joel C. Rosenberg, check back to the website, kvor.com, click on my page, and the podcast will be up with the complete interview with Mr. Rosenberg. You don't want to miss it. If you're just tuning in, you really want to listen to what he had to say. We answered the question, what is the biggest threat facing America today? Not in the short term, but in the bigger picture. And you might be surprised at the answer. It's quite insightful and fascinating. We were talking about Puerto Rico, and Maria decimated Puerto Rico. The hurricane 10 days ago or so just decimated it. And we've had all this really propaganda coming out of Puerto Rico by the San Juan mayor. And it turns out that the level of devastation is truly as bad as or probably worse than you and I can imagine. But America has stepped in to help out. But it just kind of gets me thinking about natural disasters and emergencies. You know, Puerto Rico is relying upon the United States government to bail them out of this. Right or wrong, that's what they've done. Do you think that they were prepared ahead of time? I'm wondering if there was anyone on the island who had thought about the potential of a Cat 5 or Cat 4 hurricane just completely wiping this island out. And what do you do on an island when you're out there and you rely upon boats and airplanes to get food and supplies in? And if the electrical grid is taken out, that's it. There's no electricity. The running water is probably contaminated. Babies need food. Communications is down. You know, overall, it's just not, it's not a matter of if, but when will the next emergency strike? It strikes you when you're not expecting it. It can be anything from a dead car battery all the way to fires here in our community, to blizzards, to hurricanes, to social violence, which is also a threat. So how do you prepare you and your loved ones for these emergencies and disasters? Because they come. They don't discriminate against you or me. They happen. I want you to know about RockyMountainReadiness.com. Rocky Mountain Readiness offers emergency food so you can avoid the certain food shortages during any natural disaster. They even offer body armor that gives you and your loved ones an edge when looters arrive, and they do. We forget about that when these things happen until they're there. Family radios from Rocky Mountain Readiness can give you and your family communications when cell phones aren't available, like is happening in Puerto Rico. If you'll need it in an emergency, you can find it at Rocky Mountain Readiness, but the time is now, not when it's too late, not after the hurricane, not after the fires started. From emergency food to body armor to water purifiers to medical bags to outdoor equipment and so much more, Rocky Mountain Readiness offers practical, affordable quality for you and your loved ones in nearly any emergency situation. It's all basic stuff you're going to need in emergencies, but you won't find it in the big box stores. Be ready to eat when food is short and drink when water is contaminated, and protect when crime gets too close. Discounts are available for military, law enforcement, and first responders, and you, as a listener of my show, get 5% off all purchases using the code KVOR at checkout. I urge you, go to RockyMountainReadiness.com tonight. And earlier in the show, I was highlighting a very interesting post from a U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant General with 40 years in service. He's on the ground in Puerto Rico, and he has he's been in combat arms for the last 30 years or so as a senior intelligence officer. He served twice on the National Security Council and for many years in Brussels attached to NATO. This is a big guy who doesn't really want to reveal his identity. He's privy to all U.S. military communications and intel data. It took quite some doing to actually get through to this guy today. But thanks to former Colorado State Senator Sean Mitchell, I did get to connect with this general. And he gave a summary of what's going on in Puerto Rico. I went through some of the details of his post in the first half of my show. I'll just kind of highlight them. But the gist of what he wants to get out is he's annoyed by the BS coming out of Puerto Rico. He's saying local politicos and the mainstream media are lying through their teeth. Let's just listen and hear from the mayor of San Juan. Let's hear what she has pardon the expression, trumped up what's going on in Puerto Rico. This is shameful, and she's shameless about it. But just listen to this mayor go on against the United States of America and against Trump, and listen to the propaganda she puts forward.
I am done being polite. I am done being politically correct. I am mad as hell. I beg you to take charge and save lives. Oh, we are dying here, and I cannot fathom the thought that the greatest nation in the world cannot figure out logistics for a small island. We don't get the food and the water into people's hands.
Oh, gosh, she's crying.
What we are going to see is something close to a genocide.
A genocide?
Incredible.
A genocide? Ah! Okay, is she oozing with leadership qualities? No, she's not. She's crying, and we're dying. This is shameful. This U.S. Marine Corps general that's posting information is ticked off. He says, here's the truth. It is not complicated. And he goes through specifics. Yes, the roads are down, utility lines are down. Local cooperation is really the biggest problem, but the roads are being, you know, we've got combat engineers and CB teams using chainsaws, cranes, and loaders, 18-wheeler flatbeds to clear the way. Downed utility lines are largely deactivated, and they're being removed to facilitate traffic flow. Who's doing that? National Guard and diesel from tankers in the port are being efficiently distributed to generators and military and local heavy equipment. Hospitals and doctors are cooperating with the U.S. military. The United States Air Force signal units, cellular communications are up and running. Water, infant formula, baby food. People are getting food. They're getting distributed. This Marine general who does not want to be identified says, bottom line, the mayor, these aren't my words. These are the words of a U.S. Marine Corps general. He's retired. He's so livid about the propaganda. Here's what he says. The mayor, other local government officials, and the visiting Democrat delegation are lying about the situation on the ground. He says, this was a massive direct hit on Puerto Rico. It's going to take months to recover even basic infrastructure island-wide. He says, this is his word, these are his words, whining, bitching, shrieking for help, which there is here in abundance, and lying about the situation are counterproductive political gaming. He says, don't believe the lies. This is a massive military relief response, and it's working. He says the resources are there, and he asks for prayer for overworked helicopter crews, combat engineers, and CBs, motor transport drivers, medics, and corpsmen. We've got overworked Americans down there devoting their time and their lives to getting Puerto Rico back in business, and the mayor just gripes about how the most exceptional nation in the world just can't get its act together. It's a lie, and big media is not going to refute that lie, and that's why I'm here to tell you what big media won't. We'll be back here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
And I'm here to tell you what big media want. We're going to talk some more about the San Juan mayor propagandizing lies against America and against Trump. We've played a recording two or three times where she cries out about how the most exceptional nation in the world just can't get its act together to bail out Puerto Rico. And she accuses this of being genocide. I went out to look up the definition of genocide just as a refresher. Genocide, you just look online, is the deliberate killing of a large group of people, especially those of a particular ethnic group or nation. Deliberate killing. So she's basically saying that the most exceptional, greatest nation on the planet is killing us off? It's ridiculously... This is the left, how they capitalize on every crisis. Are the real lives what's important to them? Because when this Mayor Carmen Cruz was speaking and crying, like embarrassing, crying about how Puerto Rico was not being taken care of, she's standing in front of crate loads of water bottles. Look it up online. Just look up the video.
They were not just water bottles. It was pallets.
Anybody's
worked at a retail store, dude, pallets full of packs of water. They were full water packs.
As far as the eye could see.
Hundreds of packs. Thousands of packs, probably.
Yeah. So why wasn't she just getting off of the air and distributing the water to all the people who were dying? Now,
well,
I know
she had to take a second to remind everyone that this is genocide. So
that's right.
She couldn't help anyone at that second.
It was more important.
She had
to
stop for the cameras.
Well, she went on CNN. This is really hilarious. It is and isn't. Here's our big media slam. She went on CNN, and that press conference she gave, she was being interviewed by CNN's Anderson Cooper. There's a problem there to begin with. She was wearing a T-shirt that says, "Help us, we are dying." That's what her T-shirt says. Look it up. There's a picture of her standing talking to CNN's Anderson Cooper. The shirt says in big, bold letters, "Help us, we are dying." So I can't take credit for the follow-up tweets. I'm just going to... I wish I did. I wish I'd come up with these, but I didn't. I'm going to just... Twitchy had collected some response tweets to this. Here are some of them. From Gabby Morongilio. Where does one get a shirt like this made when Puerto Rico's underwater and out of power? Good question. Matthew Dempster. I mean, who doesn't have a Help Us We Are Dying t-shirt laying around? more questions from Twitter. How did she get that shirt made when Puerto Rico's a disaster area? Did CNN provide it to her? Very, very good question.
I would love to see the behind the scenes, a producer off camera saying, "Well, here, please wear this."
Yes. I, you know what? To me, that makes the most sense. There's a video of Anderson Cooper in either Harvey, Texas, or Irma, Florida. And CNN is just totally staging fake news. It's so funny because they get caught every time. There's a picture of Anderson Cooper in flood water, like up to his shoulders. And the cameraman, somebody got a picture of this. So it's almost like he's crouched down and he's next to like cattails sticking out of the water or some kind of shrubs. So it looks very dramatic if you can imagine, you know, the CNN camera on him talking about how bad it is. Well, someone snapped a picture of, you know, the whole scene, and the CNN cameraman was in water like up to his shins. And then the water all around in the houses was kind of like up to the decks, so a couple steps up. So this is CNN, and this is the same guy who is interviewing Mayor Carmen Cruz, and she's wearing this shirt that says, "Help us, we're dying." So where do you think she got the T-shirt? That's insane. Some more tweets. "Well, she looks plenty healthy. Who made the shirt in the dark with no power? $100 says AC360 bought the shirt with talking points." I think that's Anderson Cooper. You know what? My $100 goes on that too. This is insane. So the mayor is, you know, emotional, crying, victimizing herself and her island. And somebody must have gotten to her because now she's backpedaling. Let's listen to her backpedal. I think this was from, let's see, this was yesterday. So Friday she was asking for help, but yesterday she went on MSNBC's AM Joy. Let's listen to the interchange. It's entertaining and infuriating all at the same time.
It's so infuriating.
It's a good day. It's a good start. It's a good dawn, and we're moving ahead. And that's what it's all about. It's about saving lives. It's not about politics. It's not about petty comments.
Oh.
It's about moving forward, putting boots on the ground, and saving lives.
Really?
Well, speaking of petty comments, the President of the United States woke up early this morning with you on his mind. And I'll just read you a couple of the things that he tweeted that I'm sure you've already heard about.
Let's
the mayor of San Juan, he says, referring to you, who was very complimentary only a few days ago, has now been told by the Democrats you must be nasty to Trump. Did anyone tell you to go out yesterday and to name Donald Trump as you were making your pleas for help?
Actually, I was asking for help. I wasn't saying anything nasty about the president.
You weren't? Really, Mayor? Because it sounded pretty clear that the president was conducting genocide on your little island.
Yeah, and it's almost like she didn't know everyone was recording her saying
right?
that.
Standing in front of the
in front of cameras. Yeah, no one heard what you said.
And then MSNBC stirs the pot. You know, first of all, the mayor comes on, "Oh, it's not about petty stuff. It's not about politics. It's about putting boots on the ground and moving forward." Wow, what a leader all of a sudden. And AM Joy just brings her right back into it.
Yeah, she's like, whoa. Before you stop being political, we need to bring in Trump
now. Yes. Oh, this is shameful. Totally shameful. Thank you to the U.S. Marine Corps general who has shed light on the truth of all this. But of course, This just reminds us that, Trump is what? What's the word I'm looking for? Racist!
Oh, he's a racist. He's a bigot. He hates everybody who's not white. You know.
Mr. Socialist himself, Bernie Sanders, was on CNN's State of the Union this morning. Do we have time for that audio before we go to break?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's listen to Bernie Sanders. Golly, if anybody can concoct racism or homophobism, whatever it is, out of any crisis, Bernie can do it.
First, I want to ask you about Puerto Rico. What did you make of President Trump tweeting that Puerto Ricans, quote, want everything to be done for them?
You know, speaking from his fancy golf club, playing golf with his billionaire friends, attacking the mayor of San Juan.
Wait a minute. Whoa. I don't remember seeing Trump playing golf while he was talking about the mayor, but maybe Bernie saw something I didn't.
Who is struggling to bring electricity to the island, water to the island, gas to the island. That is just, it is unspeakable. And I don't know what world Trump is living in. People in Puerto Rico are suffering one of the worst disasters in the history of that island.
And we know that, Bernie. We know that because we are hearing from real people on the ground about how bad it is. But my friend, my U.S. Marine Corps retired general, is refuting your lies and propaganda here. But that's okay. You're a take advantage of the crisis kind of guy.
Of that island, we have got to do everything we can to help them. We all have got to remember the people of Puerto Rico are American citizens, entitled to the same help as the people of any other community in America.
And
now, the White House denies it, but there are a lot of critics who say that race or ethnicity might be playing a factor here. What do you think?
Oh, well, set up question.
Look, given the president's history on race, given the fact that he a few months ago told us that there were good people on both sides when neo-Nazis were marching in Charlottesville.
Reminder?
Yeah, I think we have a right to be suspect that he is treating the people of Puerto Rico in a different way than he has treated the people of Texas or Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Is it not infuriating? Is it not infuriating? This guy wants to, given the opportunity to get into power, this guy will control every aspect of your life, and he will lie his way into doing it like every other leftist will. It is propaganda, and it's just bunk. It's pathetic. And again, big media stirring the pot. How did he set up the question? Well, do you think this has anything to do with racism? Oh, well, it sure does, says Bernie.
Any opportunity to bring up anything ever about Trump. Remember. It's like, come on.
Right. Really? Well, the eclipse was racist.
Well, yeah, the eclipse was racist.
So the hurricane, you know, must be racist, too.
Yeah, Trump called in with his white privilege, the hurricane, to take out Puerto Rico.
Goodness gracious. All right. When we come back, we're going to hear from yet another attack, another attacker of Trump, CNN. I want you to hear what big media says. Why? I know that you, my listener, generally don't tune in to big media, but words matter and narratives matter. And big media is, they've got blood on their hands, in my never very humble opinion. And they stir the pot. They threaten the president. They insult you and me. On and on and on and on, and they don't report the facts. CNN's constantly staging lies. I just want you to be aware because we've got a lot of work ahead of us, my friends. We're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL when we come back and my take on Trump and all of that and continue with the Puerto Rico discussion.
The things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up its own facts, and that is our job.
Yeah. The Michelle Moran Show.
In our remaining segment, I want to jump right into the NFL discussion. I said we would talk about some more of the attacks against Trump, but I think I covered enough of that to give you a flavor of what's going on. It is showing you what big media does, but Now I want to talk about the NFL thing. I posted and predicted 3 days ago. I said it's easy to predict the next step in the NFL debacle so that there is no politicizing of football. There will be no national anthem. That's the next step in this. This is how the America-hating left creates both the crisis and the solution. My question is anyone in the NFL ultimately going to have the stones to do what's right and say no to this assault on America? And boy, howdy, I'm a pretty good predictor. Just today, we found out that Fox Sports has decided to publicly say they will no longer air the national anthem. And just watch, every other major network's going to fall right in line and do the same thing. And I am going to talk about this. This is some powerful stuff. And I've seen and heard from friends and respected people, well, just ignore what the NFL players, when they kneel, don't bring attention to them. Well, I'm really not the one bringing attention to them. Big media is drooling all over itself to bring attention to them. And what really bothers me is this is an attack against America. They can say what they want it to be, but they hate America. This is something that started with Obama, and it's continuing now, and it's shameful. President Trump came out, it was last week, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing, let's fire the sons of bees, and that's the gist of it. He wants to fire the sons of bees that kneel in the NFL. And I've seen more commentaries that always have to throw in, well, that wasn't an appropriate thing for the president to say. And I just don't have any compulsion to agree with that at all. Back during the election, I did not like Trump at all. If you know me, you know that's just, there's no exaggeration there. And he concerned me when he would be in, leading a crowd, and he would stir up, he would incite, things like punch the guy out, things like that. That really concerned me, and it still does. I don't think that's very wise at all. It's concerning that someone with that much power would say that. But in this instance, he's just talking about firing the NFL players who kneel. Why do I agree with him on this? Because this is an assault on our founding. This has nothing to do with what they say Kaepernick was talking about, the injustice towards black by police. Honestly, Kaepernick's initial statements, if you can find those, Jason, I'll try to read them. They were very explicit against our flag. They weren't, everybody's trying to fall back on, oh, this is just about the injustices in America, and we love America and everything it stands for, But this is just about unifying to make a statement against social injustice. Well, no, it's an assault on our flag, and it's a carryover from the Obama narrative. It's a carryover from the resist movement that's becoming violent against Americans. And think about this. President Trump has been threatened how many times since he took office? I can't even count. We had a quote-unquote comedian hold up an effigy of his decapitated head with, blood all over it, and that's supposed to be funny. This is serious stuff. And I've said all along that these threats against Trump really aren't against Trump himself. He's just the figurehead for you and I, the people who elected him and put him into office. The left is hacked that Clinton didn't win so that they couldn't take over every aspect of our lives and silence us. And it's vengeance time now. And every time they threaten Trump, they're threatening you and me. Make no mistake about it. They hate us, and they hate what we stand for, and they hate why we voted the way we did. And the problem I see is this whole hateful narrative is exploding. It's going everywhere. It's gone nuclear. Now it's in our football games, for crying out loud. It's ruining American football, And it's ruining America, the narrative. It's ruining the loyalty to our founding principles, which are the most exceptional principles in the history of the world. And we are the most exceptional nation. But we've got this groundswell of hatred. It's no longer words. It's violence from the Antifa. It's violence being advocated by campus university or campus professors, university students. And I don't, you know, the NFL players would never say, oh, they're advocating violence. Well, they're lockstep in with all the other leftists who hate us and who hate America. They have no business doing this. They need to really just shut up and play ball. Who died and made them political experts? Nobody. They are football players, and they are out there, and they're getting paid to play good football and entertain us, and I could give a rat's rear less what their political views are, because most of them are, when it comes to politics, are just useful idiots, and all of this spells it out. And I have to say, this whole locking arms thing, now they're feeling the backlash of all the fans who were upset last week and who are upset today. So, and they're feeling the backlash from hiding in the locker room. Oh, what a spineless gesture from these big guys. It turns them into just all out wusses in my mind. They are just, I have no respect for them. None. And so now the big thing is, well, and when I say this in a girly voice, I mean it. This is how I see these guys. Well, let's do this. Let's kneel for the anthem in unity and show solidarity. And then we'll stand up and we'll lock arms in solidarity and unity. Yay! Can you not see little girls doing this? This is one of the girliest things I've seen men do. The pictures of them standing with locked arms, gag! I can't take it. Men, you're supposed to be men playing football and you're locking arms like little girls. This is just so, it's just the wussification of America. And now they're getting death threats. The Titans' Delanie Walker says he's had death threats since his comments on the anthem protest. He says that the death threats that my family and I have received since my comments are heartbreaking. This was in an Instagram post. The racist and violent words directed at me and my son only serve as another reminder that our country remains divided and full of hateful rhetoric. This is coming from, you know, some big muscular football player, and it's disgusting. You know what? If you want to get into the political arena and start taking a stand, do you know what comes with the turf? Sometimes you get death threats. So man up and deal with what you're doing here. Am I advocating death threats? Absolutely not. I don't like being on the receiving end of them myself. But man up and get some stones. And if you really believe what you're kneeling about, quit your griping. And there was this country singer. What the heck is her name? Megan. She was the voice. Well, some country singer came out. She sang on the field last Sunday, or maybe it was earlier in the week. And during her singing, she boldly took a knee. And now apparently she's getting death threats too. You're just useful idiots when you do this, my friends. And the fact that no one is standing up to this nonsense is quite discouraging. And I'm actually wrong in saying that. Fans are not putting up with it. Did you see the pictures posted? The stands were empty in a lot of places. Fans were saying putting up signs like, don't be jerks, stand for the anthem. Viewership is down. There have been polls taken where I think 70% of football fans are not going to watch anymore. And this is an assault on America. The only person with the stones to say something is our president. He can say it. Somebody has to push back, because when our will is subjugated to the left's and we apologize, we have lost. And I'm being told that my show is over. This is Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR signing off. Have a wonderful week, and we'll be back here next Sunday at 9 p.m.